Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 411. I'm Amy Matheny, and I do have the 411 today on what we do in the second half of our lives in the GLBT community. Where do we go? What do we want? And what are the next 50 years? Well, this is part two as well, talking about the second half. This is part two in a series of interviews that I conducted while living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, earlier this winter. And I sat down on today's show and talked with a woman who is so insightful and inspiring and doing so much work for our community, with her very own community that she's created there in the beautiful high desert of Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's called Rainbow Vision, and she does have a vision of how we can choose to live in the next 50 years of our lives. And so I visited the community, had a great time, and was able to sit down and have a really long conversation about the community, aging, and what we really need to think about in planning and caring for one another. I'm talking about Joyce Silver. She's the president and founder of Rainbow Vision Properties. And I am so thrilled to have an interview with her that I get to share with all of you. Also, there's so much going on in the theater world. It is kicking up here in Chicago. And I have to say that if you have not seen the amazing Black Watch that's happening at the Broadway Armory in Edgewater, brought to town, these hot, hot Scottish boys brought to town by Chicago Shakespeare, definitely run, don't walk. I saw it this past weekend, and it is only running through Sunday. I'm sure there's more there at Chicago Shakespeare's website. Plus, what's going on in the news? More states are very close to civil unions. Which ones are they? And it's just like a domino effect. We are getting our rights slowly but surely. So stay with me and Joy Silver on the program. So glad that you all are listening.
Want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning April 30th. During Tennis in No Time, students will learn the basics of the game, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT is $115 and includes a 3-week membership to Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more on tennis in no time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Same-sex couples in Delaware are one step closer to having civil unions as members of the state Senate's Administrative Services and Elections Committee voted to send civil union legislation to the full Senate for debate and a vote. Governor Jack Markell said Senate Bill 30 respects the rights and honors the commitment that couples make to each other to spend their lives together in partnership.
United States Representative Barney Frank reintroduced the Employment Non-Discrimination Act on March 30th, characterizing it as winnable. However, the bill, which seeks to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity by employers, is unlikely to move during the current congressional session, primarily because the Republican Party controls the House.
In Iowa, former youth pastor Brent Giroux claimed that he had sex with teenage boys because it was his duty to help the teen with homosexual urges by praying while he had sexual contact with them. However, authorities arrested Giroux, age 31, on 60 counts of suspicion of sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist. Eight men have come forward with complaints that Giroux molested them.
OutServe, a gay service members network, has launched a publication for active LGBT personnel. The first issue has updates of Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal implementation and features photography by Jeff Shang. OutServe plans to distribute the magazine to select military bases.
In Mississippi, Andre Cooley will be reinstated as a sheriff's deputy after reportedly being fired for being gay. Cooley was allegedly fired after being victimized in a domestic dispute with his boyfriend and telling his chief officer about his sexual orientation. The sheriff's department will also change its policy to prohibit anti-gay discrimination.
An association of Catholic bishops is battling a pending measure that would ban sexual orientation or gender identity-based discrimination regarding federally funded housing projects. Attorneys for the bishops argue that the regulators would force religious groups to quit the housing programs or compromise their beliefs. The Catholic Church collects millions in public dollars for building and operating such housing.
Governors Peter Shumlin of Vermont and Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island joined Marriage Equality Rhode Island at a press conference at the Rhode Island State House. Each governor advocated for the passage of marriage equality legislation currently before the General Assembly.
A recent government decision will allow same-sex couples to file green card applications while courts weigh constitutional challenges to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Immigration Equality's legal team recently filed a green card application on behalf of Edwin Blesch, a United States citizen, and Tim Smulian, his South African husband. Despite being legally married in South Africa, a marriage recognized in Blesch's home state of New York, the couple has struggled to remain together.
In Connecticut, the state legislature's Judiciary Committee postponed a vote on a measure that would legally protect transgender people. The bill's opponents argue that sexual predators could misuse a law that allows biological men to use women's facilities. The measure's supporters say that these concerns are merely tactics to have the bill quashed.
In Illinois, the Civil Rights Agenda, an Illinois statewide LGBTQ advocacy and political organization, is calling for the resignation of Schuyler County Sheriff Don Schieferdecker after it was reported that he posted a comment on Facebook that referred to a coworker as a little fag Jew boy. Schieferdecker has apologized for his remarks. Schuyler County is located in west central Illinois, about 240 miles southwest of Chicago.
In Georgia, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Counselor Marsha Walden is claiming she was wrongly terminated because of religious discrimination for refusing to advise a woman in a lesbian relationship. The company that the CDC had hired to provide counseling services, Computer Sciences Corporation, fired Walden at the CDC's request. Now Walden is asking a federal appeals court to allow her to sue the CDC.
In world news, former New York Times executive editor Joseph Lelyveld has written a biography about the late Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi. Lelyveld's book, Great Soul, Mahatma Gandhi and His Struggle with India, has garnered mostly positive reviews. In the book, Lelyveld writes of Gandhi's relationship with the German-Jewish architect and amateur bodybuilder Hermann Kallenbach,
who lived with Gandhi in South Africa in the early 1900s.
In Malaysia, the country's first gay-themed movie is a box office hit, despite calls from conservatives for the film to be banned. Dalam Bottle, Inside a Bottle, made 1 million ringgit, $330,000 approximately, in the first 5 days, making it a local hit. The movie is about a gay man who has a sex change operation to please his partner but regrets the surgery. He ends up falling in love with a woman.
In Moldova, human rights advocates are criticizing the withdrawal of a bill from parliament that would ban discrimination on several bases, including sexual orientation. Gay rights is a controversial issue in the Christian Orthodox country, but ensuring those rights is a criterion for stronger ties with the European Union.
A gay Frenchman who was accused of killing a friend of Sir Elton John's has been freed on bail. Alexandre Despelliers has been in custody since June 2010. His civil partner, ex-Warner Music boss Peter Eichen, a friend of Sir Elton John, died in a Paris hotel room in 2008 of a drug overdose.
In entertainment news, Black Swan co-star Mila Kunis will appear in the upcoming movie Oz, the Great and Powerful. Kunis will star in Oz alongside James Franco in a lead role. The new film is a prequel to the original 1939 movie, The Wizard of Oz.
The last original episode of The Oprah Winfrey Show will air Wednesday, May 25th. Reruns of the show will continue to air in syndication on her network OWN, and she will launch a primetime show, Oprah's Next Chapter, that will air 2 to 3 nights each week.
And Rosie O'Donnell, the Emmy winner for The Rosie O'Donnell Show and former co-host of The View, is planning on moving into Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Studios in Chicago after Winfrey ends her nationally syndicated TV show on May 25th. O'Donnell's new one-hour daytime talk show, set to launch this fall on cable's OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, will tape in the West Loop studio.
Overbrook Entertainment partners James Lasseter, Ken Stovitz, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Will Smith have formed a joint venture with rapper Jay-Z to develop and produce the reimagination of the classic Broadway musical Annie, with Willow Smith starring. Annie originally opened on Broadway in 1977, winning 7 Tony Awards. A movie was released in 1982.
Britney Spears announced that she is kicking off her tour in June with Enrique Iglesias. But Iglesias has apparently jumped ship. Live Nation, which is producing the tour, has not yet commented, although negotiations are reportedly taking place with his camp.
Jodie Foster and Kate Winslet will star in the movie adaptation of Yasmina Riza's Tony-winning play, God of Carnage. Roman Polanski will direct, with Christopher Waltz and Matt Dillon playing their husbands. Although the film is set in Brooklyn, New York, the filming started in Paris because of Polanski's legal troubles in the U.S. God of Carnage will be released later this year.
Lady Gaga celebrated her 25th birthday, March 28th, with dinner at El Cielito in L.A. as a mariachi band played its version of Born This Way. Later, during her show at the Staples Center, she was presented with a cake and serenaded by her fans. She thanked the fans for being the best birthday present you could give me.
Cheryl Swoopes has returned to the WNBA at age 40. The openly lesbian basketball player has signed with the Tulsa Shock after sitting out for 2 years. She'd previously played with the Houston Comets and Seattle Storm and was the league's MVP in 2000, 2002, and 2005, and has also won 3 Olympic gold medals.
In New York, comic figures from the 80s come back to life in Skeletor Saves, a charity art show, which features He-Man, the Sorceress, and a big old lisping queen, Skeletor. His appeal goes beyond sexual orientation boundaries, Brian Moylan, one of the show's curators, said. Little straight boys just understand him less ironically. Proceeds from the show will benefit the Ali Forney Center, which offers housing for homeless LGBT teens in New York City.
Out gay singer Ricky Martin may marry boyfriend Carlos Gonzalez in Spain. However, Martin cannot marry in his native Puerto Rico because the territory does not recognize same-sex marriage.
After much speculation about her sexual orientation, rapper Nicki Minaj has said that she is not bisexual. She said she never clarified that fact before because she didn't see any need to do so.
The June 5th premiere of the MTV series Teen Wolf will include an openly gay character. The series, based on the 1985 film starring Michael J. Fox, stars Tyler Posey as the werewolf. The character of Danny is an out student who plays on the school's lacrosse team and has a boyfriend.
Kevin Keller, the first out gay character in the Archie comic series, is getting his own four-issue spin-off. Keller was introduced as a new student at Archie's fictional Riverdale High in Veronica number 202. His instant popularity with fans led to that sold-out comic becoming the first in the publisher's history to go into a second printing. Keller is also in the current issue of Veronica, issue number 205.
Oscar-winning actress Helen Mirren has been immortalized in cement at the Grauman's Chinese Theater in L.A. Mirren later joked, "Yes, I am a dame of the British Empire, but now I am proud to say that I'm one of the many dames on Hollywood Boulevard."
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
Kaweer!
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 4th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Don't miss the 2002 Tony Award-winning Best Play, The Goat, or Who is Sylvia? At Remy Bumbo Theater Company. Edward Albee's razor wit tears open taboos and tests the limits of forgiveness in this 90-minute ride. Get your tickets to The Goat or Who is Sylvia at remybumbo.org.
Dixie Longate left her children in an Alabama trailer park and took off Broadway by storm. Now join Dixie's good old-fashioned Tupperware party in Chicago filled with outrageous tales, free giveaways, and the most fabulous Tupperware ever sold on a theater stage. NBC Today Show claims it's not your grandmother's Tupperware party. Playing through May 15th at the Royal George Theater. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Between the two evils, I always pick the one that I never tried before. Boho Theaters presents Dirty Blonde by Claudia Scheer, a hilarious tribute to the original diva of stage and screen, Mae West. Dirty Blonde is now playing at Theater Wit. Visit BohoTheater.com for more information.
Victory Gardens Theater presents Tree, a new play about two siblings divided by race who must face their shared roots and stitch together their family history from the fragile memories of an old woman. Tree is playing now through May 1st. Visit victorygardens.org to purchase your tickets today.
Court Theater presents Sarah Rules Orlando, based on a novel by Virginia Woolf. Often called the longest love letter in literary history, Woolf's Orlando tells the story of an English nobleman, Orlando, who lives for hundreds of years before falling asleep and waking up as a woman. For tickets, visit courttheater.org. Don't miss Orlando, running through April 10th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Okay, we wrote this for a purpose to motivate you at this time. With this hypnotizing baseline, please feel free to lose your mind. And get high, get money, get sex, get real. All in between. Oh yeah, this is stadium music. 50,000 at a time. Let's get right.
Well, as we've been discussing growing up in community and where and how we choose to spend, the second half of our lives, so to speak, one person who had a vision for that, and I heard so much about the wonderful community that she created while I was in Santa Fe, and so I thought, well, I just have to go and find out how to sit down and have some time with Joy Silver and to explore Rainbow Vision Properties and see what that's about, because it's such a unique thing for our community, for the GLBT community and our friends and allies and families. And it is the future. And I think that they are really pioneering something here. with a lot of warmth and humanity and creativity and fun. They call it Living in Diversity. And that is the Rainbow Vision Properties new motto. And I'm happy to be sitting with Joy Silver, the president and CEO of Rainbow Vision here in Santa Fe. Lovely Santa Fe. How are you, Joy?
I'm doing well. And I'm really glad that you came to Santa Fe so we get to talk about this.
Yeah.
Talk about, well, I guess, what's my favorite subject here. And it's a subject of multiple strands, because there are so many things that we're discussing when we're talking about what is Rainbow Vision and what is community and what does it mean to be aging and who's aging, and you know, it's just it goes on and on. And
well, none of us are getting any younger.
Well, no,
we've yet to find the serum for that. Try as many gay men on Halsted Street in Chicago have tried.
I'll tell you, the thing about the whole concept of aging is that while people are aging, it's not something that certainly the baby boomer generation, both sides of the baby boomer generation, mm-hmm. after World War II all the way up through the second part, and then the early part of the matures, which lived through the Depression, that generation was a little better about the whole concept of aging. But the baby boomers and anything younger than that, to deal with the concept of aging is not going to be something that's going to get integrated so simply and so easily. And
are we more in denial about it because there are so many resources to us today?
I don't think it's that it's denial in the sense that we don't know that we're going through changes, but I don't think that we want to describe it as becoming disempowered.
Ah.
And so what has happened with the whole concept of aging is that there's the old concept of aging, which was, you know, and this is a term that comes right out of senior care and residential services, and it's called the frail elderly.
Ooh, we've worked so hard for our power as a community, haven't we?
Yeah.
That's why we don't want to be the frail elderly.
And it's not simply the community of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people that worked for it, but it is all the boomers who fought for civil rights. And so there's a whole culture of fighting for power and acknowledging rights. And so now we're going to get to this point in life where we're going to say, no, we don't have that anymore. So these are difficult issues. So to change the language to follow where we are is something that, you know, when you say Rainbow Vision is pioneering things, that the tip of the iceberg is the bricks and mortar.
Yeah, sure,
It's the concept of what is community? What does it mean to be a population? How do we develop skills to be living next door to each other? I mean, there are just so many layers of this. But let me talk a little bit about what we originally thought and where we originally ended up.
What was the original vision for Rainbow Vision?
The original vision was, and there is a connection to Sage, and it was Sage in New York City. And at that point, Sage spent a year and a half deciding if they were going to go into residential facilities or not. And I was on that committee. Mm-hmm. And so by dealing with that, and how I got into that is because I was in women's reproductive health rights and the provision of women's reproductive health services to basically a boomer population.
Right.
And I looked at that and I said, well, what's the next thing that this generation is going to be facing? And it would be challenges associated with aging and how we were going to learn to accept what that's going to mean.
Right.
And from a medical and mental health point of view, and also from a spiritual point of view.
Right.
So moving aside from that and spending time with Sage decided that they wanted to stay focused on providing services in the community rather than doing residential. And so I thought, well, this generation who has been out so long will want to they will want to continue to be out.
Right.
And so where will they go? Well, in the country, there are some states that at that point in time, which is now we're talking 97, 98, that didn't even allow same-sex couples to live together because they weren't married.
Right.
And they, you know, so unmarried people, regardless of their gender, actually couldn't live together. So if you're two women, you couldn't live together. If you were a man and a woman, you couldn't live together in 12 states. So given that we would never have that, that we wouldn't have that option at all, and given that communities of faith run many, many of the communities for retiring.
Right.
You know, that maybe the whole concept of gender and orientation, given the faith and the operator of those kinds of communities, it could prove problematic.
Sure.
So
the discrimination that's probably not even happening in other areas of their community that they're living in would then start being imposed in this new community they were trying to live in based on who is running it.
That's
is
correct.
What you're saying.
That's okay. Exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so looking at it from that point of view, where are we going to go when we get older? Rainbow Vision is kind of a collective vision of all of the things that had happened back when the Stonewall riots occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a particular thing that happened in that time period. All of civil rights took a big leap forward for everything. Black power, women's rights, all of those things were happening at the same time. And when the Stonewall riots occurred in New York City, what basically happened in that moment was, and only it was only gay then, because we were still right. Gay power. It was, you know, it wasn't gay GLBT. I mean, all of
right.
that was...
Right, LMNOP yeah, had that, not even been
yeah, that was
added
all
to the Ada Pearl necklace.
That was all... Yeah, exactly. So what happened, though, and Armistead Maupin had been writing in the San Francisco Chronicle there, Tales of the City, also, mm-hmm. and they were also looking at that in the 70s. This is a little about 2 or 3 years after the Stonewall riots. But they were looking at... Now that we have stepped out in civil rights, we're no longer protecting our past and hiding where we are in the current time.
Right.
And so for the first time, we had our energy free to say, where are we going to be when we're older? We didn't really think about growing old. We didn't know that we even were going to have the opportunity to grow old.
Right. And then and in all reality, we lost a generation of men.
Out. That was in during the 80s.
Sure.
But we didn't even think about, wow, we're going to get older, because we were our energy was concentrating on survival in the moment.
Yeah.
And when civil rights opened that door, suddenly, where are we going to be when we get older became a question that just went on for 10, 20 years.
Right.
And the culmination of that was when there were pockets all over the United States looking at where were we going to go and we're going to go. Let's get something together now, because the baby boomer generation was starting to come of age, mm-hmm. to have the need for handling some of the challenges that happened during the aging process. But also, we were all trying to get something open that would be a safe environment and that would allow for that freedom. We looked at New Mexico for a very specific reason.
And I should just say, you were living
in New York City.
In New York City.
That's right.
You're an urban gal.
Yes.
Somebody asked me if I thought Santa Fe was urban. I said, I don't think so.
It is not.
Cultural?
Yes,
elite?
Cultural,
I would say elite. And I mean that in a good sense, not in the way it's been kind of spun to be a bad way. Intellectual and...
Educated that way, but not urban.
And
that's
for sure
correct.
Not that.
But the state of New Mexico has something that's very important, you know. And there were and originally I began with a different partner under a different name for the company to look at Palm Springs because we know there are a lot of older gay people there, and
yep.
the reason there are a lot of older gay people there, and they say it's over 40%, is because the entertainment industry and the movie industry, there were many, many gay people involved in that, and they ended up in Palm Springs, which was kind of the outpost of Hollywood.
Hollywood, right.
So that was the first thing I looked at. But here we had, first of all, we had openly gay people in the city council.
Mm.
This was an important piece.
Very.
And there is the housing law. You know, there's a federal anti-discrimination housing law. But
yes.
in New Mexico, it goes even further and is even more tough than the federal law. And this is one of the only states that includes transgender people.
Mm.
So this...
And it was one of the first.
It was one of the first to do
right.
that. And so that, to me, signaled something very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was encouraging to us to say, if when we build a community... This would be a safe place to do it because there is a law in the entire state of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And in the city council of Santa Fe itself, there were gay people on the council, with Patty Boucher among Patty Boucher, and there were others.
Were you familiar with Santa Fe? Had you been here?
No,
had you spent time in New Mexico?
I had started to come out to New Mexico in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more on about the spiritual journey,
mm-hmm.
of going to Chaco Canyon and the, mm-hmm. you know, having the vibral alignment was going on, you know, and just a lot of things were happening on the spiritual level. All the planets were aligned at the planetary lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So we began to come out to New Mexico based on that, mm-hmm. and then found out that not only was it the spiritual center for the United States, because our Chaco Canyon is sort of like Stonehenge is to England.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have this intense heart mm-hmm. happening in the middle of the state, and then you have this law mm-hmm. that prevents housing discrimination mm-hmm. to this extent that it would include transgender people. And then Santa Fe mm-hmm. having openly gay people in city government, it was a good place to start to do this project.
Yeah,
so
before
that's how we ended up here.
Before I did my month here, and in our last show, as all of you listening know, I was with Keith Toller from the Santa Fe Convention and Visitors Bureau, and after we were finished recording the show, he said, "So it sounds like you really came here for a healing." And I said, "I actually really came here for an opening." And so what I really hear you saying is opportunity and a really open environment, which is a key word, I think, for us as GLBT people. Mm-hmm. You know, there is an integration here that Keith and I talked about in the last show, that it is not the same, you know, for many of you listeners who know the Boys Town, Halsted Street area or Christopher Street and, you know, certain areas in, or the Castro, you know, we take even in our big urban environments where we have gathered
mm-hmm.
and somehow we have just gathered in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
Like we haven't gathered on a certain, you know, east side, north side, south side. We are just kind of here and integrated within this town is what I really feel.
There's a specific reason for that in Santa Fe, and it has to do with the history of Santa Fe and New Mexico having been a territory. And what happened was when the Anglo people came to New Mexico and it no longer was Spanish owned, that was at the end of the 1800s. Around the Victorian period. Mm-hmm. And what happened was you had, there are a lot of things that were constructed that allow for this history. And if it's okay, I'll give you a little information about
please.
It. I'm just a wealth of information.
I love it.
Okay.
You got the whole show with you, Joy.
I got
tons of tapes.
Okay, so all right. I went
to the museum, but I don't think I could regurgitate what you're about to do.
Yes.
So the brand new museum on all the New Mexico history.
And
which
I'm
is,
so into that. Like at heart, I'm an anthropologist.
Oh, good.
So this is my thing. You know,
well, great.
And I think you probably realize when you walked into Rainbow Vision, you saw the names in the rooms were named for people from our own history and our own culture.
Absolutely.
So it's my
Radcliffe
thing.
Radcliffe Hall
there you
and
go.
Oscar Wilde.
Yeah,
and,
that's right. That's right. We have Greta Garbo in there.
Right, Garbo's, which is where I had a lovely lunch. So if you come here, you don't even have to live here to go to lunch here,
that's
which
right.
is fantastic. We're going to talk about some of the facilities and aspects of
we
things
will.
That you have here.
Well, back to what happened at the end of the 1800s. So capitalism, you know, we moved from the agrarian society and we began to become industrialized. And by the end of the Victorian period, we were fairly industrialized. And this is before the Depression and before the Wall Street drop in the 20s. So they created some vehicles for protecting the money that was made during the industrialization period. Now, you had in Massachusetts, you had places that were doing things like running mills, and they had the mills in Lowell, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and Methuen, and then in that area. In fact, I think Katharine Hepburn, no, Betty Davis comes from up there.
Mm-hmm.
So those people who made money wanted to protect now this new found money, and they created trust funds. Trust funds are very important to the history of Santa Fe because you no longer had to marry someone in order to pass the family money.
Mm.
This is really important because if
this is the Virginia Woolf. If a woman can live without, what is the phrase from A Room of One's Own? If a woman doesn't need, obviously, to rely on the husband.
That's exactly
and has
it.
Her own money.
That's it.
Then absolutely. Okay.
Okay. And this is what happens.
All comes back to Virginia Woolf.
Somehow it does.
Somehow.
So
Wolfie was just, you know, at the center of it all.
She was at the center of it. And it's important because having those trust funds meant that people didn't have to get married. Well, the first set of people who found freedom in this were women, because men could pass their money down to their son,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't matter about them getting married.
Right.
It only mattered in order to pass the money after the son's death. But women didn't have that opportunity. So now you have this whole class of women who didn't have to get married to have money.
Right.
Because they could get the family money in a trust fund. Well, some of these girls didn't want to get married. Mm. So what did we do with these wayward daughters if we lived in Massachusetts? We sent them to the newest and latest thing, the new territory, which was New Mexico, and Santa Fe in particular, so they could be artists, which is always a code word for allowing for different orientations and gender identifications.
Right. They weren't all Georgia O'Keeffe, is what we're saying. Right? They weren't all those kind of artists.
Right. So you allowed that vehicle allowed women to come out to Santa Fe to be artists. And they always say, you know, the lesbians go out and make it safe, and then the gay men come in and make it pretty.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
So they came out, they had their own money, they had their own life. And so Santa Fe, in particular, has been a seat of what they say, what they call trust fund babies. And because of that, it set the tone for gays and lesbians to be safe here. And then when art became, you know, when the art movement colonies really happened here, and it became a place for the buying and selling of art, if you're going to have art, you're going to have gay men.
Of course.
And so then the gay men came out, and so Santa Fe became the home of where art and therefore gay and lesbian people would feel not only safe but had a lot to contribute to
the community,
to the area, to the local, and also to the economy.
Right.
And once you have a position in the economy, this is a good integration.
Yeah.
So these are some of the reasons why Santa Fe became a good place for the GL, well, the G, let's just say gay, because who knew about all the rest of it. But anyway, that's the story of how it became a safe place. And then by the time in the 50s, when they started to become operatic, and then it became a world-class opera.
Sure, which we discussed, Keith and I,
That's very critical, because gay men run the opera world.
Yeah.
And so you had them coming from all over the world. And so what happens with gay men, even today, is that they come for the opera season, they come, oh, I like it here during the opera season, I'll be here another time, and then they begin their pilgrimage that ends up being a habitation.
See, this is why my pilgrimage has begun, because I'm seriously such a gay man trapped
really
in a lesbian body.
Man.
That has always been what I've said. So therefore,
she likes
makes
art and she likes
perfectly,
opera. And, yeah,
yes,
there
it
you
makes
go.
perfect sense why I am starting to migrate here. Though don't worry, Chicago, I'm not leaving you. I just I may have to respite here more frequently than
I anticipated. And I hope you'll be our guest in our guest suites or trial stays here, because I think, you know, we'll make sure that your stay is very wonderful for you. So
tell me about the vision for this place.
Well, this is...
I mean, now you've found your location. You kind of think,
location.
Okay, it doesn't have to be supply and demand, Palm Springs. There's actually demand here. There's an environment that's open and welcome to this.
I'm not sure the demand was here in the same way that the demand is in Palm Springs, but it was a safer place to begin the project.
What was essential for
you?
You
know, there's only 1.5 million people in the whole state of New Mexico.
Well,
and frankly,
true.
I went to high school with more people. You come from a big city, you know, that's nothing.
Right. So, I mean, it's less than 100,000 people in Santa Fe.
So, you know, it's not so much that the demand was here.
Right.
It's that it was a place that worked for the acceptance and for the safety factor. So the concept for Rainbow Vision, we thought that we tried to go the nonprofit route. It didn't work. It just took too long. Boards keep meeting. They keep reinventing the wheel. People can't agree. You can't get things started. Raising money, establishing an entity to do that. This really was not working quickly enough, at least for my taste.
Sure.
You know, and so we decided, well, we'll go for profit, and we will put it in forms of an investor, equity investor, and then we would go for a loan, or so a combination of equity and debt. So that's what we did. We spent almost 9 years raising money, getting through the city, planning, and it took us 9 years to get to opening.
Wow. And what did you want this place, when you explained it to people, like, what did you want this place to feel like and to be like for its members?
And that's a critical piece too. I mean, we call people who live here or who have bought homes here and don't live here. Everyone is a member because they are a member of the community. Mm. You know, and so that's whether, you know, it doesn't matter about your orientation and your gender identification.
So it's not just GLBT, we should say that.
Oh, there it's are far people... from just GLBT.
And it's accessible to the city.
Well, we have no choice but to have it. I mean, it would be against the law not to to make it only GLBT, but that was never our intention.
Right.
Our intention was to allow to create a place where we could live in the majority if we choose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people went through this, and I've been through a lot of interviews, and they talk about, well, it's a ghetto, and who wants to live with it, you know, and this whole idea of ghettoization. But, you know, there's a really big difference between choosing to live in a community where you may be in the majority versus being forced to live in a place because you're not allowed anywhere else.
Well, that's true.
Like, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
A ghetto is where you have to be because mm-hmm. you're not allowed to be anywhere
well,
else.
Well, nobody would call Key West the ghetto. This is where we choose to be. We know we'll be there with people that, you know, I mean, if they go to vacation, you know, it's like, where do we go to vacation,
that's
right?
True.
Or
that's true. But this is, but there was a lot of talk about this, and probably there still is talk about this. And what is different from what I thought, for example, in the assisted living section of our option, our residential options, what I found was that many GLBTQIA, I'll bet that one.
Good for you. Better than me.
they'll put their family members, their mothers, their grandmothers in community when necessary because they feel more comfortable during holidays and visiting because they know that their family construct, whatever that may be, given their orientation and gender mm-hmm. identification, that they'll be more comfortable when they go to visit their loved ones.
Interesting.
And I never thought of that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, right?
So.
And that's one of the areas we should just really, just for the facts, like there are various ways in which you can live in community.
That's correct.
Here. Can you,
yes.
One of those is assisted living, and maybe that's where everybody's brain goes, but that's just one quarter of ways in which you can live here.
Assisted living is one thing. We also have independent living, which are rentals. And we also have the trial stays or short-term stays.
Mm-hmm.
We also have independently owned condominium units.
Which I think I was hearing was kind of something that was a boon at the beginning and that wasn't anticipated, that everybody would want to kind of own a
piece of
this,
right? I know,
that
was a surprise, actually. And so we had to add another 20 units to our original plan because of that.
And they are two and a half bedroom type facility.
But those were in the days before the 2007
sure.
mortgage crisis,
right?
You know, so it was a different time. But anyway, we also we have what we call transitional mm-hmm. residential units, which are people who can participate in the programmatic aspects of assisted living, but are not ready for the 27 watch mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah,
and so but there's something that makes us even more special, shall I say, than all of this, regardless of gender and orientation and rainbow vision and everything else, and that is, we are non-age restricted.
Yeah, so you have you could have anybody living here at any age.
That's correct, and this is fantastically different, and it allows for a whole range of things that many communities that would be somewhat similar to what we are do not allow.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, for example, since depending on, you know, the same sex people cannot marry,
mm-hmm.
in many communities you have to be 55 plus. In some, depending on their financial funding structure, you may have to be 62. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're married to someone who's 62, or 55, depending on the funding structure, the financing structure, and that person dies, and you are not that age, you cannot live there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can't get married,
right,
what's going to happen to you?
Right. Yeah.
If
the
you
things
can't,
we don't even think about.
You cannot. If you are married to somebody who's 62, and you are 46. And we have a lot of age differences in our community,
right.
More so, I think, with men. You can't move in, even.
Yeah.
Because you're not married, because you can't be.
Right.
And so you cannot live with your partner.
Right.
In this community, you can, not only if your partner dies, you can stay here if you're 46, but you can get in the first place.
Right. That's huge.
It is
I
huge.
I mean, it's a huge thing, and it is really a big thing in our community. Obviously, there are things happening all the time. We've just had Hawaii, Illinois passed civil unions, but so many people, and I've been talking about this for a decade on the radio, that, why same-sex marriage became kind of our banner conversation, that really, there can be debate and argument around that, like whether or not that is has been the most important issue of the past decade, or whether or not we actually even, many of us even want to get married. But, as I've been saying, that the conversation has been so religious, such a religious debate, and where it really comes down to some really, really fundamental things, a lot of it economics, I truly believe. That's my own two cents, which everybody from the podcast has heard that over the years. But, and another one is just like these kind of issues that we don't think about. We don't think about until we're in them. And why would we? Because we've never had that life experience before. And our parents, we've never seen that. We've never seen, most of us come from heterosexual parents, and we've never seen them walk that kind of a journey before.
That's
so this
right.
is the new, these are the new.
These are some of the new issues. But even at, so that allows, okay, you're 46 and she's 55.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
That would be a shorter time span than three of my relationships. So, yeah. I'm just finally now dating somebody my own age,
So you understand. So,
it would have been a big deal, but
so the
decade
two
ago.
Of you move, and even after you get married and the two of you can move in. And so that's usual.
Right.
But what happens if she dies?
Right.
Then you have to move.
Yeah.
And so that's too bad that you're all your friends and they've become like family to you and everything else. You cannot stay in most places.
Yeah, but you can hear.
But you can hear. So it also allows for a lot of other things. And I didn't know it at the time, but if you have MS.
Mm. And you all do a lot with.
And we have people who have MS. And this was, became a focus for us.
Right.
Later, after we were open. You may have MS, and adult onset of MS starts at 29.
Right.
So the severity of that can be many, many different levels of severity. So you can move here.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have lupus, or you have cancer and you're recovering, or you have HIV and you're in various states of wellness. So it is not age-related. And we knew from the whole AIDS crisis that challenges in daily life activities, activities of daily living, as they say in the industry, are not necessarily related to aging.
Mm.
And that is why we wanted to be sure not to be age restricted.
So there are tons of programs that are involved in this community. And I just had lunch at Garbo's, which is a fantastic facility. And not only is it this wonderful dining experience, but you can pull back the curtains and open up the doors, and then right there is like your gay bar cabaret.
That's our Silver Starlight Lounge.
Right, which is how I actually first heard about Rainbow Vision from coming to town. Your brain as a gay person being in the community, much of your adult life, you just kind of like those kind of things pop out of the Weekly Reader or whatever, and you see that kind of information. But just how cool that it's here in the middle of this community.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somewhere off on the plaza,
Well, that comes from being urban.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
The design of that is just genius.
Very
I'm
urban.
Like, how many, there's some bars and restaurants in Chicago the facility is great. The food's fantastic.
Thank you.
Award-winning chef who just won the Girl Scout cookie award.
Caper.
Yeah,
that's
the cookie
right.
caper. Like,
yeah.
So, there we are. Who says scouting and gays don't go together?
There you go.
And then there's this fantastic fitness facility, which you share the namesake of Billie Jean King, as does the Center on Halsted in Chicago.
That's
so
right.
Health and wellness is a really big part of being here.
And we need to honor people who have done tremendous things for us Billie Jean King, you know, she was overlooked. Well, sports for women were overlooked at the time when the feminist movement went forward, and they really were looking at things like football and those kinds of things as violent sports that men participated in.
Right.
But Billie Jean King and her championship of Title IX, which federal Title IX, which meant that schools had to put money into women's sports.
Right.
Changed the face of everything, because women did not have the depersonalization teamwork that it takes to achieve a goal. They didn't have that outlet or that training to become confident in those ways and to let, you know, personal differences to the side in order to achieve goals. And sports is critical with competition, allowing for competition, learning how to accept losses. Mm-hmm. These are just the beginning of some of the things that women needed to do in order to really experience the power that it means to be, you know, an adult in society. And this was because of Billie Jean King.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously extraordinary. And obviously, our owner of Windy City Times was one of the co-chairs of the Gay Games in Chicago. And, you know, we're adamant in Windy City Media about sports, gay GLBT sports, and that coverage weekly, and women in sports, and all of those teams. So it was just so... it felt so at home to walk into the Billie Jean King Fitness Center here and to know that she lent her name
to the
facility.
Well, she did more than lend her name. She also did the design and consulted with us about the equipment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she added some very important things, and she also looked at it for strength training. And, I mean, she was a consultant for that particular fitness center. So, you know, she really actively participated.
How do people get information about Rainbow Vision, and is it something that you know, you have people coming from, you know, other cities and other states?
Oh well,
that
goes back to what you had talked about, the demand, and people they hear about Rainbow Vision through the internet or the newspaper or logo or media like yours, for example. But you know, gay people were always able to give each other information before all of that.
Right.
Word of mouth.
Before we could tweet and before we could Facebook.
Before all
we
that
knew.
Stuff ever happened. And we use all of the social marketing now and all of that. But, you know, friends...
But girls knew how to hook up.
And they knew who was gay and they knew who wasn't. And they knew where the bars were. And nobody ever had to tell us anything. Though now that we have all of these options, it's much easier for people to know about what Rainbow Vision is in Santa Fe. Now, our biggest, our vision was to have a number of Rainbow Visions that would all be sort of connected, you know, and that people could go to travel to and to stay to exchange their homes with other people in other communities. But we got sidetracked and by the economic crisis of the world.
Sure.
Doesn't mean we're giving up our ideas. It just means we have to sort of retrench and see how that can be made happen now. But I think it's very important, and I want to go a little bit into the difference between community and population, because there are some things that, and while everything, and I want to say that, and I know you know this because you were inside, the facility is elegant, and there was, and we deliberately made it elegant, particularly in the El Centro building, which is where the Billie Jean King is, and Garbo's, and... you know, the assorted amenities and services are provided out of.
Yeah.
And the assisted living floor is on
the locker rooms are gorgeous. The steam room,
the spa.
You have massage rooms.
Outdoor hot tubs.
Right, outdoor hot tubs and massage tables. Exactly.
You must come and see it. Call us at 505-428-7777. A shameless plug.
There you go.
And you can find us on the net at rainbowvisionprop.com. But I want to get back to, first of all, why is it when we're evolving, we're not even using the word aging anymore, we're evolving, you know, why shouldn't it be beautiful lighting and elegant atmosphere?
We've earned it. We've lived the years where you live like a bohemian and you're 20 and you're living, you know, on a pull-out couch.
That's
you want to live nice.
And so that's part of what we created, and I'm sure you can see that we did that.
Absolutely.
You go get your hair cut at the Edward Scissorhands
salon,
right? You know? And there's a reason for the name of each and every room and why they were named what they were named, and we'll go into that if you care to a little later, but I want to get back to And also many communities, you know, like for the active adult communities in that industry, you have the golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, instead of a golf course, we have the cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more, you know, closely mm-hmm. related to people who have been in the arts or have been in the academia world.
Sure.
And so when we have our straight allies who move in here,
right,
they usually are either people who have been in the medical field
mm-hmm.
or people who have been professors
mm-hmm.
or people who have been in theater or mm-hmm. other kinds of media also. So it all kind of works in an integrated
way.
When
you have a library reading room, that's yes. just lovely. It's just kind of at the
that's
heart
our
of
Capote Library there.
Yeah, and then there's plenty of places to walk and trails. And
well, it's a 13-acre property.
Yeah.
So a lot goes on outside as well. But to get back to the community versus population, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, questioning or queer and allies, which could be straight people or celibate people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are what I learned by doing this project is that there are a hell of a lot more kinds of relationships or identities than I had ever thought. And
right.
most people
or that we can put a label on or a letter to.
There really are, because there are relationships that where people are married and they don't live together. Or people are partnered and they don't live together, or open,
mm-hmm.
or people are involved in a three person
relationship.
Yes, they are.
Yes,
and it's not like that's not committed.
Right,
it is committed, but it
yep.
goes on. And also, you know, there are celibate people and people who don't have any sexual preference and are just not sexual at all. I mean, they're just so many things
right.
that are going on, and so they all come here
mm-hmm.
because our people who live here came up with the whole concept. They said, no, we are living diversity. And
mm-hmm.
we said, you know what? This is member-driven and defined.
Yeah.
And that's how they see themselves.
It's a diverse community,
and
a diverse population.
They see themselves as living diversity. That's
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. You know, they're not, that's their own title. And they see it as much broader than even I had ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is an amazing thing. But to learn the skill of becoming a community, you know, becoming a community sounds like a really great idea. But, you know, a lot of people's idea of moving into a community is that, not that this is in the forefront of their minds and they believe this, but it's sort of an underlying thing. I'm going to move into a community where everyone thinks and agrees,
mm-hmm.
thinks like me and agrees with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so to find those skills to have the acceptance and to function within our differences is still something that I think it's going to take. The more diverse we are, the more difficult that becomes.
Sure. Well, and I think what we discover is that at core we're all the same, but we are very diverse. And just because you and I are lesbian doesn't mean that we have maybe we have nothing more in common than that one thing.
Exactly.
You know, ideology doesn't even have to be the same or anything, you know, and I think
that's an important thing you're saying.
That's a very important thing, you know, that there, I think that is this new, you know, I mean, when I connect with the youth of our generation, you know, they are the ones that are really kicking at our heels, pushing, to break through and break open many of these labels that, you know, from my generation on up, because I kind of feel like, you know, I was raised, you know, I became sexualized in the AIDS epidemic, you know, and so, you know, my generation or those who, you know, came out Stonewall or you know, pre-HIV/AIDS. I mean, I think it's kind of how most people, I think, gay or straight, almost look at ourselves as fully
mm-hmm.
sexualized or people. And, you know, I really think that these new queer youth are really challenging in its concepts of gender and its concepts of sexuality. And what I'm hearing you even say is that it is, whether it's even spoken about, it is actually happening here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blurred lines and all of our differences and all of our diversity, which is beyond whatever label we give ourselves to our sexuality.
But the condition of your experience will affect your ability to understand or even accept someone else in that, because, you know, there are many, many gay and lesbian people who don't believe in bisexuality.
Right.
They don't believe in bisexuality, as if it's
right.
like...
Yeah.
As
like
if it's not real. Is that it's not real.
Like global warming for some people. Right? I mean...
Whether or not you believe
and then you
it,
have
there
people
are
who are not accepting of the transgender community being a part of the G and the L.
And then what about transgender orientation?
Right. Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff going on. And so we've had a lot of presentations and programs mm-hmm. to talk mm-hmm. through some of these things. We had to have presentations by people who identify themselves in one way or another so mm-hmm. that... It becomes an educational process just to be here.
Well, you've been here for 5 years,
yes.
and I feel that the next 50, it will all continue to get explored and defined, and just what a wonderful gift you've given the community, and also,
well,
it seems, to the city of Santa Fe,
most
you know, gay and straight. And thank you for being my host today and just showing me around. And we will definitely have the website and the phone number in our show notes. The website will be linked. I am sure you could contact here if you need leasing information
That's
or you
correct.
Are coming through Santa Fe, even for a visit.
Yes, let make us your destination because we have guest suites and you can use the spa and mm-hmm. the fitness center and come to our parties and our dances and our cabaret shows and... It's all here.
It's all here. And let me tell you, with a beautiful, beautiful view of your office and almost every place I've been here. I was on the assisted living floor, and I think they have the most beautiful view.
And that was intentional.
For the lunchroom.
That was intentional.
Gorgeous.
Da Vinci's dining room,
mm-hmm.
named for Da Vinci, and it was intentional that they would get the best views of the whole community.
Well, it's really, really lovely, and thank you for
Thanks
letting
so
me be
much.
Your guest and spending time with me, and hopefully we can continue in the year to come conversations on all of these topics.
And
maybe
I look
again.
Forward to that.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joy.
Okay.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everyone, coming up in upcoming weeks, I'm going to be talking with the fantastic duo that is known as Shane and Steve, who created Talbot Teas. Now, if you're an Oprah Favorite Things watcher, you know that these are Oprah's favorite teas, and they are a gay couple who live right here in the Windy City. Plus, also, I'm going to be talking about the GLBTQ Youth Society. A new book has been published as a guidebook and resource for this. It's called The Survival Guide for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender, and Questioning Teens. I'll be speaking with the author, the young author of that book as well. So lots of great shows to come and more movie reviews as movies start picking up just a little bit with Richard Knight Jr. Hope you all have a great week. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.